Welcome back from the break. Before the break, you heard Call of the Wild by The Matinee. They are a local Vancouver band, tearing it up, ripping it up even. And we love to play them here on Pucked in the Head.
My name is Jason Carello. We love to play them.
This is Russell Arbuthnot.
Here I be.
And our last segment, after listening to a little bit of Mariners baseball, we'll have some more Mariners stuff coming up on future episodes. John is very well spoken. Great to have him on the program.
That's fantastic. Thanks, John.
We next are going to talk a little bit of soccer. Of course, we have the Women's World Cup coming up in,
a couple of weeks.
Not even a couple of weeks, a couple of days.
Yes.
Coming up at the beginning of June.
That's true, right.
And consequently, we're going to see the Whitecaps take a very long road trip.
6 weeks.
Their last game coming up this very Saturday.
Last game at home.
The last prior home to game, the road yes, trip, yep. Before their long road trip. Now, they lost their last game in Colorado rather controversially.
Yes.
Would you like to speak to that a little
bit? Sure, I'll speak to that. Well, I don't know how much we want to get into this, but the Pedro Morales fired a free kick into the net in the 82nd minute, I believe, to tie the game at one. Colorado's goal earlier in the second half was partially due to a missed call on Whitecaps midfielder Gershon Kofi.
At the same time, it was a lovely pass.
It was, and a lovely finish
from
as well.
Torres, who, by the way, is only playing for Colorado because of some rather egregious underhanded...
Some sort of under-the-table deal. In any case, Morales fired the ball into the net. It was then called back because Pamadou Kaw was adjudged to have fouled a defender in the wall during the free kick.
Now, what did the defender say after the game?
The defender basically admitted that Kaw didn't even touch him whatsoever.
And what did the Colorado coach say after the game?
He said that probably should not have been a foul.
So Vancouver was not only denied a single point in the game, but gave a league rival a full 3 points in the game. So, this is not a team that is going to challenge for the Supporters Shield.
I doubt it. Maybe this is the turning point for them.
Maybe they're going to go on a tear.
Yeah.
Maybe if they have this referee for a few games.
Yes.
Could you have a little bit of information on our dear umpire for that, our head referee for that game?
Juan Carlos Rivero from New York, who just last year, in October of 2014, was actually arrested for...
arrested?
For fraud.
Now, this is a quality that I like to have in...
in your officials?
In an official for a professional sporting match.
Mm-hmm. And he was... because of that, he was actually suspended for a certain amount of time, I suppose. It sort of was undetermined because somewhere along the line, without any sort of announcement, he was thusly reinstated by the referee organization and MLS. And he showed up in an opening weekend match as the fourth official, and that was basically it.
The referee, what are they called?
It's the referee professional referees organization.
The professional referees organization sounds like some sort of underground mafia that might take care of like backdoor dealings on construction sites or something. It does not sound like
you probably don't want to go too far with those conspiracy theories, Jason, because we might not hear from you ever again. This could very well be your last show.
Yes, now that this has gone out, I would like to say to my family, I love you very much. To my daughter, Mila, daddy loves you. And no, even if you never
Thank
see
you
him
for
again.
4 good years.
His last thoughts were of you and bad refereeing.
So needless to say, there was some... controversy and some anger on the part of the Whitecaps.
And not just the Whitecaps, but social media was rather shall we say, unfriendly
towards the league.
To Young Hwang.
Yes. I personally didn't see it live. I did see the highlight, which MLS themselves somehow managed to omit completely from the highlight package. So I had to go searching for it.
But the Whitecaps provided it.
The Whitecaps did provide it on their own highlight. They had an extended highlight package,
right.
I suppose.
We may try to include that on the website.
Maybe
which,
a good
by the
idea.
Way, is puckedinthehead.com. Where you can not only get episodes of this very radio show and podcast, but you can also read the poetry of Russell Arbuthnot.
You keep pushing that poetry.
The first thing you ever wrote for us. And so from then on, you have been the soccer poet.
Well, there may be another one in the works here.
You did do another one after that that was all haiku, which I enjoyed as
no,
well.
No, haiku was the first one.
Was haiku the first
one? And then
one?
Limerick. Limerick after that.
I can't read. Mm-hmm. I never learned to read. This match was one that the Whitecaps really would have liked a point at least.
At least,
this is not
yeah.
a good team, Colorado.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the point was there. Well, at least a single point was there for the taking. And it's certainly important to collect as many points as you possibly can before heading out on a grueling 6-week road trip. So.
Especially considering the solid spanking that they took.
It's been a bad span of 2 weeks for the Whitecaps.
The Seattle Sounders pretty much just shut them down.
And full credit to the Sounders. It was a terrific display by them on the road.
A complete game by them on both sides of the ball.
Yeah.
But I think even more, it was the way that the Whitecaps were unable to control two matches against an inferior opponent. Very inferior squad in the Edmonton Eddies.
Yes.
They should not have to go into the seventh minute of extra time
to get a winner.
To get that winner. And from the most unlikely
from
of
Matias
sources.
Labba.
From Matias Labba. His first goal as a Whitecap, which is great. Mm-hmm. But basically a goal mouth scramble you normally only see in hockey.
Well, and realistically that that ball should probably not have crossed the line either.
It was a poor goal.
It was poor goaltending display for sure. But good on them for getting through, I suppose. But certainly the last couple of weeks have demonstrated that there are some chinks in the Whitecaps' armor and certainly a few areas of their game that they should improve upon or have to improve upon.
The first game against Edmonton, they fielded basically their second squad.
Yes, which still should have been more competitive than they showed.
The second game, however, they pretty much had their first roster.
More or less.
On the field.
Yeah.
They scored one goal and then sat back.
Yep.
Why would they do that against
team? It's, again, if you look back at throughout this season, starting from the very beginning, I mean, the Whitecaps have sort of had a habit of kind of playing to their opposition. I mean, a few of their wins, again, like we've stated before, have come in the final minutes, if not extra time. They've pulled off a late tie. They just have a habit of if they tend to dictate the play and aren't rewarded for it, I don't know if it's just becoming discouraged or losing faith in their system or their tactics, but they certainly seem incapable of actually keeping up that run of play and putting their foot firmly on their opponent's throat.
This worries me because it tends to happen most when they're playing multiple games in a short amount of time. These last couple of weeks, they played consecutive weekend games and then consecutive Wednesday games. The one Wednesday they didn't play, they traveled into a snowstorm. Mm-hmm. So they were still tired from their travel.
Well, I'm sure they had probably a real whoop-em-up type of snowball fight, too, while they were there.
But then coming up on this, they've got multiple weeks of travel while the Women's World Cup is going on at BC Place. And then they are also going to have CONCACAF play and the two Canadian championship games against the Montreal Impact. This is going to be a very full summer.
Yeah, it's going to be a heck hectic schedule, to say the least. I can't even imagine the travel back and forth through the next month, well, month and a half, let's say.
And this is supposed to be one of the deepest teams in MLS. Mm-hmm. They're not showing us
that. They certainly are not showing it. I mean, that's what we've been told and sort of led to believe, but they certainly have not. The proof has not been in the pudding.
There's been very little pudding.
Very little pudding. It's been a lot of pudding over on the fans and faithful, but.
Is Pedro back? He did score that cracker of a free kick, was taken back. He scored a really nice goal in the run of play a couple of weeks ago. Is Pedro back? Is he the player that we saw last year, or is he still underperforming in your eyes?
He's stepping towards becoming that player. So I would agree with you. The last couple of weeks have been better. But as I wrote about on the website, actually, that game against the Sounders to me was terribly discouraging to see his body language. And this is the guy that he's the highest paid player on the team. He was arguably the biggest acquisition of Carl Robinson and his regime, has been given every opportunity to succeed and be the leader that he is expected to be. And I mean, it wasn't even just against Seattle. There have been a few occasions where he puts his head down, his shoulders are slumped, and he doesn't feel like he needs to put in that effort in order to turn the team around.
Now, last season, when we started to see that at the end of the year, even though the Whitecaps were on a tear, a lot of people were talking about Pedro and the fact that his dip in performance was because he was tired. He had played
exhaustion, yeah.
You know, most of a season overseas, and then he played the full season here. He started almost every game. This should not be an excuse this year.
14 straight months, I think, was he had been playing soccer.
So he had a full off season. He looked fresh in the preseason this year. Mm-hmm. So is there an injury that's going on? Is it because he's not with Rivero on the squad? Pedro now is not the center of attention all the time? Or is it just opposition teams are marking him better?
I don't think it's an injury. Certainly, yeah. I mean, you win the MLS Newcomer of the Year award, and yeah, you're going to be the focal point of your opponent's defensive structure, right? You're going to key on him and try to shut him down, especially because, I mean, it's true, last season, the vast majority of the Whitecaps' attack ran directly through Pedro Morales. But with this squad, as you just said, there should be the depth there to be able to spread that offense around. Certainly, Rosales is more than capable, and he showed that this week, and I thought he had a very, very good game.
This was his first really good game, I thought, since he got injured.
Yeah, well, twice, right?
Yeah, because when he came back, he was injured again very quickly.
Very quickly, yeah. Teixeira, to me, has been probably the Whitecaps' best player over the past couple of weeks since he's been getting some regular minutes. And that's just it. They have the talent to be able to spread that around. So maybe you're right. Maybe that's why Morales has sort of taken a step back. Maybe he realizes, or he's just taken his foot off the gas because that talent is there, and he feels that maybe he doesn't necessarily have to be the instigator of the Whitecaps offense as much as last year.
But even if he's saving himself for later in the season, because it is going to be a long year.
Yeah.
With extra games, with all those other tournaments. Even if he is saving himself somewhat, as you said, the body language is not
very discouraging,
indicative of a captaincy.
Exactly. Well, and especially because, again, Carl Robinson has made it a priority of the team to develop their youth players. And for him to perpetuate that type of, you know, attitude or mentality or whatever you want to chalk it up to in front of those players, I can't believe that Carl Robinson is too terribly impressed with that. But credit to him. I mean, he's certainly stuck beside Pedro, and there have been questions raised by fans and media for the last couple of months at least. And Carl says that he thinks he's, you know, playing fine. And that, part of that is, I think, sort of Carl's makeup, that he's not going to throw his players under the bus. And he's been very, very good at shielding his players since he's become the head coach.
Pedro scored, what, 2 goals now? So far in the season.
Yeah.
Only 2. He's not going to get the 10 goals that he got last year.
Well,
12 goals. How many did he get last year? 12? He led the team last year.
He did lead the team. Again, I mean, I don't know if it was the majority, but very, very close to like a 50-50 split, if not 60-40, were from the penalty spot as well, right?
Right.
So it depends. I mean, if the Whitecaps are able to draw some more penalties, then he certainly has the possibility.
So let's shift gears a little bit. What is your take so far on Pa Maduka? Because coming in, everyone said he's going to take the odd penalty. Mm-hmm. And it hasn't been odd. It's been regular.
Frequent.
Very frequent.
Yeah.
Frequent.
Yeah. To me, personally, I don't believe that he was in Carl Robinson's plans to be starting this many games and playing this often. I think Rodriguez was more or less supposed to be the man who lined up next to Kendall Waston. And Tim Parker, who has come in and looked really, really good in limited minutes. I mean, he's played more again the last couple of weeks, but
just because of the schedule.
Exactly, yeah. Because of Rodriguez's injury, which sort of came out of nowhere. I mean, I'm surprised he was out, or he's been out. A few days ago was, in fact, his first game back when he suited up for Whitecaps FC 2.
Right.
Just to get some minutes in and get him warmed up. So I anticipate seeing him in this coming weekend. But I mean, he's serviceable, and he certainly is an above average second option. The penalties, they're going to come. And as you and I discussed off the top of this segment, you know, you can put some stock into the penalty calls, but then again, you have to consider what league they're playing in and who's in
charge.
And
the referees do tend to issue fouls and cards based on the name on the back of your jersey.
On the name on the back, and also simply because, you know what, you're a 6'3", 210-pound defender going up against a 5'8", 110-pound forward. So,
which was the case with Waston.
With Waston.
When he touched the Edmonton defender in the box, or a striker in the box, although you have to know
not to do it
in the 85th minute of a game.
At that point in the game,
you cannot put, you know, when you're that much bigger than a guy, you cannot give him the opportunity to go down. They're going to call that, and probably should have called it.
Mm-hmm.
Like they did. I don't think it was a particularly bad foul to call.
Nope. I agree with that. I mean, it could have gone either way, but I mean, you can't be upset about, I could not be upset about that call itself.
If that had happened to a Whitecaps player and the referee had not called it,
the tables were turned, it would be a completely different reaction, for sure.
Would have been screaming about it.
Yeah.
For sure.
Definitely.
Well, what do we see over there? Now, I don't remember what your predictions are for the road trip. Do you see the Whitecaps turning it around on this road trip?
I certainly hope so. Do I see them doing it? Potentially.
Are they still going to be in the hunt for the Supporters Shield after these 6 weeks?
No. No, I don't even think they're in the hunt anymore.
I think they're in third place, and they played one fewer game than the two teams above.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I feel like Carl Robinson and his staff have a lot of work to do, more so than the players at this point, because their formation and tactic, for lack of a better term, has become very, very stale, and they're becoming much, much too easy to shut down. So without having or adding another wrinkle into their attack, I think they're going to struggle.
Thank you very much, Russell. We are out of time for this episode of Pucked in the Head. For your listening pleasure, we are going to leave you with something that Carl Robinson is probably singing to his boys right now. This is Coldplay with Fix You.
When you try your best, but you don't succeed. When you get what you want, but not what you need. When you feel so tired, but you can't sleep. Stuck in reverse. And the tears come streaming down your face. When you lose something you can't replace. When you love someone but it goes to waste. Could it be? Will guide.
Banana stand.